If only I could have seen through doors. If only I could have seen through doors like I can now. I would have stayed to tend my girlfriend's garden. Instead, I obeyed. Though my undertow instincts raked and pulled at my skin, I obeyed. The latch was heart cold on the screen door. What would you expect, October in Rochester, New York? Just a week before, I pressed the heart cold latch on the same screen door. My father squared his sandpaper tin flask fist on my virgin jaw. I fell serpent back. I felt soft concrete on my hard skull. Blood softens. I obeyed. Funny, cold makes pain come alive. What would you expect? It was September in Rochester, New York. For 6 weeks, I watched my mother as a death watches a coma victim. School, home, bed, observe. School, home, bed, observe. School, home, bed, observe. The meek shall inherit the earth. My ass. The vigilant will. The tired will. Maybe I was meek. 7 weeks before, I fell in love with a half-Vietnamese girl. My father brought her home one night. I spent a week speaking the pseudo-intellectuals' politics of adolescence, the kind you see on CBS or CNN today. She was beautiful. She was witty. She was of my mind. She was the war-plowed daughter of my father. I didn't know it, but my mother did. If only I could have seen through doors like I can now. My father would leave on one of his many business trips. My mother would leave on one of her business trips. Mom and Dad were always on business. My father flew for hours on a plane while my mother slept for weeks in a bed. 8 weeks before, my sisters left to fill their veins in rotten crotches. 8 weeks later, in the snickerdoodle orange and brown waiting room at Strong Memorial, my sister's dead tongues leaked, "Who cares?" as my mother bled charcoal. I was introduced to Rorschach that night. I obeyed. Yes, the latch. I opened the opaque door of my youth. Mindy, my mom's Lhasa, barked from the top of the stairs. The fucking mop never barked until now. I obeyed. On any other night, it would be quiet. The watched and relieved silence of a job well done by an obedient son. On any other night, I would have gone to the secor of my bi-level below-ground suburban dysfunctional tomb. I would listen to Peter Gabriel drone on, 6x6 from wall to wall. Shutters on the windows, no light at all. Bed, school, home, observe. But the self-righteous, self-indulgent, disobedient son of a bitch, me, went out on a date. Bleeding nails because my hand wasn't on the damn screen door latch. I walked up the stairs, maroon carpet choked a yellow diamond by a cheap plastic runner that went all over the house in testament to all the depressed women that say, if I am to live in my bed, I should never have to vacuum. I turned the corner, the TV was on. The TV was never on this late until now. I obeyed. The old men on the History Channel with gleaming metal stuck to their old Sears Roebuck polyester suits as if anyone cared about the greatest generation. Remember CBS or CNN. They all lied through their Polygrip 499 early bird special teeth. They said that death has a smell, that it smells rotten, decayed. No, rotting flesh smells rotten. The smell of ureters and sphincters loosening, that was death. To self-sainted old men. Death has no smell. Death is a feeling. Death is alive. Death is a color. I know because as I look down the hallway, a hallway that in all my 16 years never looked so long, I said to myself, what fresh blue hell is this? Death is blue. And I obeyed. As I entered the room, I saw her foot peeking shyly from behind the bed. I looked over the bed. She was lying very still. The TV was muted. Or maybe it wasn't. It was blue. Her body was blue. The bed was blue. Death is blue, and I obeyed. I touched her. She was corpse cold. What would you expect? October in Rochester, New York. Xanax was everywhere as if it had fallen from the cancerous limbs of a razor-wrist apple tree. Her arms and elbows raked and pulled raw from trying to get back on the bed. Blood in the sheets. Blood in blue shines. Shiny blue. The color of suicide. I would obey later. I walked slowly, the good sun, the blue sun. I made the hallway long this time. Maybe if I am slow enough, slow to find the phone, slow to press the numbers now scarred into my forefinger, maybe blue death would have a smell this time, and I can still obey. The doctor made me sit at her bedside. I obeyed. The loving monitors glowed blue. When she awakened, the carbon black was dripping from her lips. Black and blue, the colors of life. She said, "I hate you." But I was the good son. I obeyed. I said, "I love you." I didn't mean it. The world speaks of needful things. It has no idea. What would you expect? It was October in Rochester, New York.